Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing it is. We have our spiritual freedom because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then praise the Lord, we do have physical freedoms because we've had many die on the battleground to bring to us the freedom that we experience and so enjoy living in the United States of America. And I trust today's been just a reminder of that for all of us. Well, tonight, Genesis chapter 4. For the last few weeks, we've been on a series that we've just focused on the idea of stress. And understanding that's something that everyone battles with at some point or other. And so as we're looking at what the Bible says about it, and as we understand stress, we have to, first of all, learn of the roots of stress, where it comes from. As we already have taught, stress is not a germ. It's not contagious. Just because you sit next to somebody that's all stressed out does not mean you're going to get that. Amen? It's not contagious. It's not a virus. We have to understand what stress is and where it comes from. And so we go back to the beginning of all things. And we find that before the sin of Adam, there was no stress. The only stress-free environment man has ever known is what God created for man. Now, praise the Lord, once we leave this physical body and we have our glorified body and we go on to be with the Lord, we're going to be in a stress-free environment for an eternity. And praise the Lord for that. But as long as we live in this physical world, as long as we have a sin nature, we're going to have to deal with stress. Stress comes from the sin nature of man. And we've seen, we can't go back and re-preach everything we already have, but we've seen what happened to Adam and Eve after they fall. Now that they received the fallen nature, and their lives changed completely, their relationship with themselves, their relationship with their each other, their relationship with God, how they were going to live on planet Earth. I mean, everything changed. And from that, we find, is the roots of stress. It's within all of us because we all have a sin nature. There is no stress-free life. It's an impossibility in this life. All of us face it because we all have a sin nature. But what we're looking for is what God can grant us in this life, and that is less stress and how to control or manage and even overcome stress. Different times of our life, we're going to be faced with a lot of different things, and so stress is going to be a little harder for us. It's going to be more of the battle than what it is at other times. And so we've studied what took place with Cain. It passed down from Adam and Eve. It passed it down to their descendants and the sin nature. And we found how that Abel was able to maintain the peace of God as he did what God wanted him to do. And we find that Cain was all stressed out because of what he failed to do and not doing things according to God's word. He started to just do things based upon his own human understanding and reasoning. And that led him to be disobedient to God. And we found that how the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen, and all the things that took place. And God said this to Cain. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You want to have the peace of Abel, your brother? Do what Abel did. Just be faithful to me. Do what I've told you to do. You'll find that you can have the help and overcome the stress when you're walking with God. Amen? You have the help of God. And so tonight we're going to be looking at what we haven't seen, what we haven't read yet. The last message here concerning Cain and Abel, and that's found in verse 8 down to verse 13. So go ahead and stand with me tonight. We're going to be reading Genesis chapter 4. God told Cain how he could overcome the stress he was under. And now we find what he did. We find the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8, and Cain, first of all, the Bible says Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth. which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done for us today and what a tremendous morning service we had. And then you've allowed us an opportunity to come back tonight. And I thank you for each one that's taken advantage of that, that are here. And I just pray, God, that you would use this service and continue to use the preaching of thy word to speak to each one of us. Pray that you would just empower and bless the preaching at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, we find here that Cain didn't do what God told him to do. And his sin, because he didn't do with it what God told him to do, it eventually led to more sin. This example that we have recorded in Scripture is for us to learn from. This is the beginning of all things. We understand a lot about human nature from the very beginning of man, that the human nature is the same. Can I tell you that Cain would not only go on to experience a terrible existence here after he failed to do what God told him to do, and when he failed to do that, he turned more to that sin nature, which only brought more stress into his life. Cain would not do what God told him to do, and so his sin would bring a terrible existence in his life and here in this world, and then he would eventually die and go to a place of hell for an eternity. Now, understanding that, we fast forward to 2016. We still understand that the stress comes from the sin nature of humanity. There's no help of God to anyone that does not acknowledge their sin, confess their sin, believe that Jesus died for their sin, and to call upon him to be their Savior. When they are saved and they have the opportunity to draw from God's help, God's help allows us for our spirit to bear witness with his spirit and God to work in our minds. See, how we think, how we kind of put everything together, how we see things. We preached this morning and taught this morning in Sunday school on wisdom and how important it is to have the wisdom of God for discernment. Because we have to make sure that if we are discerning properly, that is, we're using the right judgment to determine how we're going to respond to whatever it is that we're faced with in life. If you don't have the help of God to respond the way God would have you to respond, you're going to respond according to the sinful nature. And when you make decisions based on the sin nature, it's going to take you into deeper sin, which is deeper stress. When we have that understanding of who God is and realize that we have the help of God, if we would just but yield to him, he can help you with your thinking. And in understanding his right way to think can help you in your heart. Because as a man thinks, so is he. It will affect how you feel. It affects your emotions of life. And we have the help of God because his spirit can and will bear witness with our spirit if we are seeking wisdom from God and we are seeking his ways and his help. So we fast forward to 2016. Can I tell you that God's counsel never changes? Man's need has been the very same since the very beginning after the sin nature took over in his life. We have a lot of history. We have the history of the Bible, but we fast forward to where we're at today and we look at Hebrews in chapter 6. Turn there with me. Hebrews in chapter 6. God's counsel never changes. What Cain needed then is the counsel of God. What we need today, no matter what your stress level, no matter what it is that you're facing in life, you need the help of God. because that will help you, first of all, in your thinking. And if you get your thinking right, then your heart will be right. Amen. Hebrews in chapter 6 and verse 17, it says this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now hold on right there. Did you get all that? That's a powerful verse right there in starting out. Wherein God, willing more abundantly for us today to show unto the heirs of promise, that's New Testament church age, that's those who believe in Jesus Christ, those that have received Christ as your personal Savior, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that means unchangeable. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His counsel to mankind will not change. So we find here we have the immutability, his unchanging counsel. We go all the way back to Cain. The very same counsel is the very same counsel that God would give his children today. And he would give the lost today. Immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, you study that, there's two things that God has given to us that are perfect. When that which is perfect is come, that which was in part shall be done away with. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The only perfect individual was Jesus Christ. He will never change. His counsel, his ways, his example is the same for us today as it was when he walked on the face of the earth. It will never change. You can put your faith and your focus on him and follow his example and his word. Those are the two immutable things. That are the two things that he's talking about here that God has given to us, his son and his word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This Bible right here, God's word, it's the same. It will never change. His counsel, his instructions, his help, his way, it will never change. As human beings, we need to understand that God has given us the ability through him to get the help that we need no matter what the circumstances of life. Amen. Through these two immutable things, his counsel, through these two things, through Jesus Christ and through the eternal word that we have before us today, God's preserved his word, the Bible, for us today. These two immutable things, by the two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, it's truth, because God can't tell a lie. We might have a strong, look right here, consolation, encouragement, comfort, help from God. A strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That's down deep in you, amen? That's your soul, that's what's within you. And these two immutable things is the anchor to what's inside of you. To deal with stress, because stress comes from within you. Now the things of the world will bring it out. And the nature that you have within you will bring it out. And the world, the flesh, and the devil, they'll do everything to bring it out. But the hope and the help that you have in dealing with distress lies within those two immutable things, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, Jesus Christ dying for us, becoming that sacrificial lamb, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's an Old Testament appearance of Christ. What a powerful passage of scripture right there. Understanding what we're dealing with here today and understanding that this stress comes from within us, and God says, here's your help. Can I tell you that I believe that Cain was given that very same counsel? Put your faith in what's to come, Cain. The Messiah. Put your faith in the blood, because the blood that your brother Abel brought, the sacrificial offering, The blood offering, that is to look forward to the coming of the Messiah. Your offering of what you wanted to offer, being a tiller of the ground, it's what you wanted to offer. It's how you wanted to live. It's not what I commanded. If you want my help, if you want my acceptance of your offering, then offer to me what I have commanded you to offer me. And your help is there, as it was for Abel, who had peace. I was talking to my wife last week after this, and I said, Abel had the peace. And she said, yeah, but he was killed. And I said, yes, he was spared all the stress of this life. Amen. He went from peace to even a greater peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. Versus Cain, who had to live out the rest of his life in a miserable condition and then go on to go to a devil's hell. Wow. Yeah. So accepting God's plan of salvation allows me the opportunity to find rest in Christ. When you have faith to believe and to receive Jesus Christ, listen to me, you receive Him and then you receive His Word, and it's the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest after the older order of Melchizedek. Can I tell you, that's salvation. That's salvation. Look what Jesus said about that. Matthew chapter 11. This is what we have available to us as we deal with the circumstances of life. As we deal with that circumstances that will try to draw out of us this stress, this inability to cope with the circumstances of life. Basically, stress is an inability to cope with, to deal with, to handle, to control our emotions and our minds, which lead to these nervous reactions in our bodies. The Bible says in Matthew in chapter 11 and verse 28, very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find, look right here, if you're stressed out tonight and you're allowing the circumstances of your life in this world to overcome you, ye shall find rest unto your souls. You shall find a promise from God, a promise from a God who cannot lie. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you understand who He is. See, physical rest is important in dealing with physical stress. I think all of us understand that. You have to get rest in order for your mind to function properly, for you to have the strength physically. But it's spiritual rest is what it takes to overcome it. To be able to control it, to be able to manage it, to be able to have less effects of stress on your life. It's that spiritual rest. See, Cain should have listened and chose the blood. Salvation brings to us the help of God. Salvation brings to us a comforter that dwells within you, that understands where the stress is coming from, understands you better than you understand yourself. And through the Holy Spirit, God bearing witness with your spirit can give you a rest, can give you a comfort. John chapter 14, look there with me. Who are you focusing? What are you focusing on as you're going through the trials? One person you ought to be focusing on more than anything else is not the actual trial, but the person of Christ and the word that He has given to us. Those are the two immutable things. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, as Jesus was a comforter to His disciples, He was able to comfort them, to calm their fears, and to help them with all that they had to deal with during His life on this earth. He says this, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. In place of Christ, who was a comforter because he was walking with them, he said, another who will do the very same thing that I've done for you throughout all of the New Testament church age. For every born-again believer that gets saved during the church age, he says, I'm sending you someone that will walk with you as I walked with my apostles and disciples. I'm sending to you someone that will be within you, who'll know you better than you know yourself. I'm sending to you someone that will stay inside of you and will bear witness with your spirit and will comfort you and give you the right thoughts as long as you're looking for them. That's what he's saying. I'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Born again believer, you're dealing with the circumstances of the life. Can I tell you, a God that cannot lie says, if you trust him, he'll not leave you comfortless. You have the help of God available to you if you will look to him and do what it is he tells you to do. It's exactly what he told Cain. If you do what Abel did, will you not be received? Will you not have the walk and the fellowship with God? Will you not be comforted in your life? Very same counsel. Verse 27, he said this. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. You can't find my peace in the world. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yeah, I love that. It allows us to experience his help, which is his grace, which is grace to help in our time of need. You got stress? Are you looking in the right places to find the help? Are you doing the right things to find the help? Are you taking the counsel of God, or are you taking the counsel of the world? Are you led by your sinful nature, or are you allowing the Spirit of God to direct you to the spiritual nature of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. The Bible says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that's talking to the saved now, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, both theirs and ours. Both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you. If you're saved, and that's who he's addressing, he says, grace be unto you. And peace. Exactly what Jesus offered. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything, now let's look at that again. That in everything, well, you say, well, it doesn't, except for what I'm going through, except for what I'm faced with. Now, are you saved? Do you have the Spirit of God inside of you? That in everything, he's talking to you. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Wow. Choose the blood. The best help you could give anybody dealing with anything in this life is choose Christ. Get saved. Get saved, because that gives you the opportunity to draw from his help. The second thing that Cain should have done, Cain rejected the blood. He rejected to offer to God the blood sacrifice, which was symbolic for him understanding about the coming of the Messiah, the blood of Christ. Back in Genesis 4:8, the Bible says that Cain talked with Abel. Doesn't tell us how long that went on. He understood that Abel did the right thing and he pleased God, and Abel was able to enjoy the fellowship and the comfort and the help of God. And so now we find that Cain did, to start with. He went and he talked with Abel to find out Abel's take on it. Why did God accept your offering, didn't accept mine? How is it you have this, how is it you're always smiling? And why do you see the good in everything? And why do you actually glory in tribulation? I believe that might have been some of the things that he was asking Abel. And so he talked with Abel, and as far as we know, because Abel was right with God, Abel was smiling and saying exactly what God wanted him to tell Cain. Amen. Because he realized that the truth was in what God had revealed to him. And by him doing what God told him to do, he was able to have the fellowship, the sweet fellowship, and the peace of God. Somebody comes to you and asks you what it is, how you're able to smile and how you're able to have a peace in your life going through trials and maybe tribulations and some storms of life. Give God the glory. Help them to see it's not me, it's the God that I'm looking to. It's a comfort that comes from the Spirit that dwells within me. And he came within me when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can have the very same peace that I have, and you can have the very same comfort from God that he's given to me. I believe that Abel would have been maybe one of the first soul winners, trying to win his brother to the Lord. He's also one of the first martyrs, one of the first that had to suffer the persecution. But he's in glory today, rejoicing that he was used by God. Amen. For all people since that time to look back to. Yeah. We must see the need and be willing to do what Cain was not willing to do. Not only to receive Christ, but then grow in his knowledge. I believe Cain was a hard-headed individual. Had already focused on his ways and doing what he wanted to do. And when Cain would not, or Abel would not give Cain the direction, would not allow him to think that his way was right, he killed him. His sin and rejecting of Christ led him into deeper sin. He might have found a little enjoyment in getting revenge in his mind. But ultimately, the judgment of his sin was said, I'm unable to bear it. It has caused more stress in my life than I'm able to bear. He would live out the rest of his days with that kind of misery, and then he would die and go to a devil's hell. Wow. We must see the need and be willing to do our part. Once we get saved, we need to grow in our knowledge and understanding. You see, a lot of people say, well, I'm saved, I'm still stressed out, I'm having problems, and I don't... You've not grown. The Bible says, and Jesus taught his disciples, that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you're going to do what I want you to do to be able to withstand the attacks, you have to increase your understanding. You have to yield more to the Spirit of God, who can help you to learn what you need to learn, understand what there is to understand. God will do his part, but we have to do ours. It's like driving a stick shift instead of an automatic transmission. Today, most people, I don't know, especially the younger ones, wouldn't even understand what a stick shift is. You mean there's three pedals down there? I remember when we first got married, I was telling you, I was working and had a lot of things. I had a lot of toys. I had my own house when we got married. And the car that that we had was a Audi Fox, because I was working on Porsches and Audis and making a lot of money doing that. And so I had the sports version of an Audi, which was an Audi Fox. And because that's what it was called. It was, that's the brand, or that was the model of Audi that we had. And because it was a sports version of an Audi, then it had a stick shift. And my wife had never driven anything but an automatic. And so I thought I could teach her how to drive a stick shift. You think it's tough teaching your teenage daughter how to drive a stick shift? Try doing it to your wife. Trying to have patience. And it was jerk, 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 stop. Honey, you have to give it more gas and just barely let up on the clutch, and you got to learn how to do this. Okay, it's taking off, burning rubber and everything else. No, that's too much gas. I eventually had to get out of the car, and I said, you learn it on your own. I'm going home. I'm walking home. I did. And I think that helped her. She was nervous for me being in the car. I told her what she had to do, but I was there. It was too nerve-wracking for her. So once I got out of the car, I thought, now you're driving just fine, you know. But when you learn to drive a stick shift, you have the power of the engine. You have the power designed to the transmission. This is a car that would have been able to go 130, 140 miles an hour. But you had to shift gears. If you left it in first, if you wound out the motor, you might be able to, that particular car, get about 40 miles an hour. But it is wound tight as it can go. It will never go any faster than that until you shift the gear. And if you don't shift the gear, you're wound tight. And when you let off the gas, you're jerking your neck back, because it's going to go all the way back to zero again. And you might push down on the pedal, and it'll get back up to 40 miles an hour, but it will not go past that until you learn to shift the gear. Can I tell you, a lot of believers are in that type of a lifestyle where they're driving a stick shift and they think it's an automatic, and you're going so far, but you're not shifting into the next gear, and you end up going all the way back to zero. We need to learn how to grow in our spiritual understanding and the knowledge of the Word of God, and you'll be able to get past that next gear. But there's another gear that follows that. You're going faster now, but there's still another gear. In that particular model, there was five gears. And if you'd used every one of them, going faster than you ought to be going, I guarantee you that. Oh, how we need to learn to grow. He said, I'll give you rest, but he said, learn of me. You're going to have greater rest the more you learn of him. With knowledge comes a better understanding. Understanding of reasons why we might face what we face. Understanding God has a purpose and a reason for everything that he allows us to go through. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Almost finished here tonight. Everybody with me? Trust it's a help. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4, it says this. Well, verse 2 and 3, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us, he does this, in all our tribulations, if you're looking for him, and that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Did you get what God is saying here? He says, what I might allow you to go through is so that it will give you the experience to use in helping others. It will teach us to place our trust in God so that we have a testimony that we can tell others what got us through it. And if you've been through it, can I tell you, there's a lot of people out there that need somebody that's been through it and found the right solution to their stress. Whether it's a stress going through a divorce, whether it's a stress going through a lost child, whether it's a stress with losing a job, whether it's a stress of whatever it might be, God might have taken you through that to give you an experience so that God can work through you to be a help to others. And when you know that, when you're going through it, it will strengthen you to look to Him, to have the help to get through it, knowing that once I'm through it, I'll be a more usable vessel. Yeah. Through it all, whatever God allows in our lives as believers, it's growing us that we might be a vessel that He can work through. And knowing that, I can be assured that if we look to Him in our stressful conditions, He will deliver us in His time. Lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul understood this. Before he was taken to glory, Paul, in his last letter that he would write, being inspired by the Spirit of God, wrote this, chapter 4 and verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. Have you ever felt the stress of being alone? Feeling that everybody turned their back on you? You didn't have anyone to turn to? And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. He shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Abel had that peace to know whatever he went through, God would deliver him, and he eventually would go to his home in heaven. A stress-free environment. Cain never had that. Cain failed to accept God's plan. Therefore, he would not grow in his understanding. And the end result was no comfort, no help, only more sin and more judgment. God's counsel never changes. Mankind needs the very same counsel that God gave Cain in learning how to deal with stress. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. God's counsel is immutable. We have two things that are immutable as well, that help us dealing and facing with anything that we have to face in life. person of Jesus Christ and the word that he's left for us. I trust you're taking advantage of both. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you, Lord God, for the truths of your word, for how you met with us this evening. And I pray right now, God, as you have spoken to all that are here, I ask that you would help each one that needs to make decisions tonight to make that decision, to look to you, and to grow by understanding more of your word. Bless now in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.